So we have the Korach rebellion. That's obviously the name of the Pasha, Korach, the Korach rebellion. Now, after the rebellion, what happens is Hashem gives a command of the 613 commandments, probably two, depends who you go like, a positive commandment and a prohibition. And it says like this in 833, which is chapter 18, verse 2 on the bottom. Hashem said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's household with you shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. And this is a command that you will bear the iniquity. You and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. Very vague. What are they bearing here? So over to verse 3, crucial. They shall safeguard your charge and the charge of the entire tent. 4, similar. They shall be joined and you shall safeguard the charge of your tent. Now, what this is, let's see if they have it on the side here. This, on the side, on 833, second paragraph, they shall minister to you. In addition to the above duties, the Levites were to assist in the service by singing psalms, not for us, and now for us, and acting as watchmen, that's what we're going to discuss now, treasurers and officials. And again, if we read the psukkah, we're not reading it now, positive and negative commandment of the Levites / Kahanim, I'm not going through all those details, there's a whole masechta on it, full talmud, of that they are to safeguard as watchmen the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. What means is, the simple version it means, that they have to make sure everyone knows where they're going. English, we call it bouncers. That means anyone like Korach making a rebellion, we need to know where you're going and what you're allowed to do. More so, Rashi quotes it, if we go back to page 733, literally 100 pages earlier, which will be chapter 1, the very end of chapter 1, verse 53. Here's where it's more clear. 733, the Levites shall encamp around the tabernacle, so that there shall be no wrath upon the assembly, and the Levites shall safeguard the watch. Does Oscar say anything over here? No, they do not say that. But here it says it. If you look over to the Rashi, we'll actually do a third place where he says it, chapter 3, verse 6, which is page 737. Once again, which would be toward the bottom of the page, appointment of the Levites. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, bring near the tribe of Levi, have it stand before Aaron the Kohen, and they shall serve them. They shall safeguard his charge. Our scrolls continue since you safeguard the charge rules. Now, what this means is, and Rashi says consistently, there is an obligation, biblical, to have bouncers, we're going to use that word for now, bouncers to detect the Mishkan. Korach was saying, you don't belong there, I belong there, the whole mess. We're saying, okay, we don't know who belongs where. We're going to have sentries, if that's the word, standing guard to say, you're a female, you only go till here. By the color coordinate maps, you're a Yisrael Jew till here. Levi Jew till here. Kohen till here. We have safe. No one can go past where they should be going, because if they do, they contaminate the sanctuary, and that will be said bad for the Jews, as it said. It will create negative things for the Jews. When you read the Chumash and the Rashi, it says the reason we are having safeguard, in other words, safeguard, that's a weird word, safeguard is what you just said, Stephen, to make sure everyone knows exactly where they should go and no one should be going to the wrong location. So we have guards, we're going to call them for this first version, we're going to call them bouncers now, or ushers, okay. Bouncers or ushers to make sure no one is not where they should be. That's how you read the Chumash and the Rashi. And the Gemara adds on, you're saying correct, not only a non-Levite, or a contaminated person. Actually says that, or the contaminated person. Now I'm going to read you a Rambam. Open Rambam. This is the eighth parak of Beis HaBechira. Beis HaBechira is the first chapters of how the temple, the structure was set up. Shmiras HaMikdash, the watching, the guarding of the Beis HaMikdash, mitzvahs essay, he starts with, he's going to say soon again the negative, is a positive commandment. Just going to skip for 1 second, come back. And then two laws later, the imbat lushmir, if the people do not do their duty and they nullify the watching, they also violate a prohibition. And he quotes from our pasuk over here, so far. Now we go back to the Rambam, because we're not finished yet, it's going to be strange. Mitzvahs, this is very strange. Shmiras HaMikdash, the watching of the mitzvahs, the ushering, the bouncing, mitzvahs asay, is a positive mitzvah. Here goes the Rambam telling you what, don't think something. I don't know how often you're going to have the Rambam, don't think something. The Afapi, even though means don't think this, there's no fear of enemies attacking. But let me list them of robberies. I'm not afraid of people robbing the Beis HaMikdash. That wouldn't be, the Rambam saying, don't think, this is the Rambam saying, don't think the reason to set up guards, which I would ask you before tonight, why do you think you set up guards? Would be a fair thing to say. There's extremely valuable items behind the guards, extremely valuable items, guarded to make sure no one steals from theft. Rambam says, even though there's no fear of theft, you wouldn't have thought that? Even though it gets even better, even though there's no fear of theft, that's what Rambam says. But that's a weird thing to say anyway. Even you wouldn't think it, Rambam saying, don't think it. Okay, well, I mean, don't think it. So don't tell me anything. Don't plant the seed. Don't think something, right? Don't think it. She'ein shmirasa. The real, it's a negative and a positive. The reason that we're setting up the guards, now what Gemara says, Ella Kavavod, it's an honor. We change the word now from ushers and bouncers, honor guard. Why? Rambam continues. Ein adoyim, it's not comparable. Platjun, a palace. She'esh lo shemim, that has an honor guard. The patron she'ein lo shemim, will honor to a palace with no guard. So the Rambam changes from the Gemara, the Rashi, the Chumash, the whole thing. And he's saying the reason why you have to have guards was not bouncers, which would be a lot of sense, protect the mishnah from the people who don't belong there. Don't think it's protect the people who are going to steal. It's called honor guard. And this, to finish off this odd Rambam, if I may say so, here's the next words. Vishmirizu, this watching mitzvah. The mitzvah applies the entire night. Entire night. When you go to England, honor guard, are they there by night only? If it's an honor guard, everyone asks right away, Rabbi Rambam. The reason, if you want to say...
I think 24 hours.
If you want to say the reason is because of theft, maybe you could say place guards nighttime. There's more theft than nighttime. During the day, there's people around. What are you going to do? Walking to steal something? There's 10,000 kahanim slaughtering animals there. Yeah, it's not a good idea. So if you want to say the reason, to the rabbi, the Chumash, Gemara, Rashi imply that the reason for the guards, the mitzvah of the guards, was to protect the Mishkan from people who don't belong there, who are either contaminated or non-kahana. The Rambam says, I have a second reason that I don't like. That's very interesting. Second I don't like is, I don't like it because of theft, but I like it because of honor guard. And by the way, nighttime only. So the double question is, Rambam, you came up with your own reason. And Rambam, your reason doesn't even fit with your next statement. If it's an honor guard, I don't know, by the way, I know there's a changing of the guard that's at certain times. Are the honor guards there 24/7? So here it's saying you do it for the respect. But right now the Rambam says, She'ein Shmirasai, the reason for the guarding, Elokavavai, it's an honor. That you cannot compare a palace without a guard to a palace with a guard. So the Rambam, on the simplest interpretation, the Rambam seems to be saying, the reason I'm pulling honor guard, because he's using those words, the reason to have the guards stationed in their location, it's an honorable thing. It makes it look more impressive. When you walk by a building with no guard, you walk by a building with guard, you assume that you would
place more important.
Makes it more important. You can't compare it. Now the Rambam has to answer, if I'm trying to make it more important, why am I limiting it to nighttime? Wouldn't you rather have it during the day? Do I care if someone thinks it's a good place at 2:00 a.m.? No, I don't want that guy who's roaming the streets to him anyway. If it's a theft, maybe nighttime. If it's an honor, impressive, important, daytime and nighttime. If it's where people should go and not go, then more daytime. The nighttime, no one's around anyway. He's saying it is to protect people from going where they don't belong, but not to protect the guys who don't belong there, who are being jerks or are contaminated or might not know they're contaminated. It's for the people who are overzealous in their desire.
How does this tie in with Pauline?
We said that the Kairach, right after Kairach, on page 833, right after the Kairach rebellion is when God gives this command. He happens to say it in multiple places. 833, it says Aaron's duty reiterated, because it was given earlier. So after the Kairach rebellion, where they were complaining who goes where, is when God said, okay, we're going to set up guards to know who goes where.
At night is when people become tahar. Right, a hair of Shemesh, for instance, somebody right. Becomes, or at night. Maybe the guard was around during the day and at night. However, at night it was an honor guard because people became tahar at night, so they didn't need the extra shmira for where to go at night.
The Rambam seems to say the shmira zoom, it's supposed to call a light. The guard is required during the night. Bodenheim is now saying he likes Rosen's idea that we're trying to prevent people who are so excited to return. Not as he's saying, Rosen was saying, so excited to they want to move forward, we got to protect these guys. Bodenheim's adding on, at nighttime is when a lot of the contaminated people become non-contaminated. Uncontaminated. If you remember, we once said years ago, that God went around to the nations of the world to offer them the Torah. He wants the Torah. Each nation said, okay, what do you got? So he told the people, the murderers, says, don't murder. Oh, that's against my nature. Told the people like the who are into women, yeah, you can't sleep with the wrong women. Ah, that's out. And he went to each nation and basically told them something that was in their DNA against them. So the Chiddush HaRim, the first Ger Rebbe, asked, wait a second, that's an unfair this thing going on here. When God came to the Jews, and the Jews didn't ask, of course, the Jews didn't say, what is it? But they said, we'll do it. But God should have also given them the opportunity to write, by the way, what do you Jews hate? We'll make it long davenings. You got to know there's going to be long davenings, right? Why didn't God do that? It's not fair. He told everyone else what they don't like. Why didn't he tell the Jews something? So the Chiddush HaRim says that when at Sinai, it keeps on being repeated. If you go through the story those 2 days, what keeps on happening is Moses comes down. So God came forward and tells Moses, go down and tell everyone they can't get near the mountain. So he says, fine. And then tells the Jews, you can't go near the mountain. They say, okay, fine. And the Torah says, Moshe went up and told God, they're not going near the mountain. Then the day of, he says, I want to remind them again, they're not going near the mountain. What is this? Like when you're thinking of Har Sinai, by the way, it's one of the most minor bits of the story most people don't even realize. And if you read the psukim inside it, it occurs like multiple times. A lot of real estate used on don't go near the mountain, don't go near the mountain. So the Chiddush HaRim says, I'll tell you why. Because like what Rosen was saying, the Jews naturally want to get closer to God. That's their kryptonite. So the same way he told those guys don't kill, he told those guys don't steal, those guys don't be with the wrong women. What he told the Jews was, you know what? There's a system here. Don't hug the bride, as Rosen said as the example. So and he kept on repeating because God, he was telling the nations after, when you come forward, nations of the world, when the Messianic revelation comes and says, oh, by the way, you know, you gave us our kryptonite. You didn't give the Jews. No, I told the Jews that kryptonite. You know what they said? We'll do it. And you know what happened? Not one Jew rushed forward and grabbed the mountain. During the entire time of that story, no one rushed forward with his own belong. Why? We have a system in place. And that's what we were saying. The Chiddush HaRim said that he was a Chassidus Rebbe. He needed a Chassidus Rebbe to say this. That the Jews and the Shamas inside the Jews are looking to jump forward, jump through hoops to get to step A. We don't want to go through the slow process. We want to be great tomorrow. Processes. You stand here. By the way, similar to the guards of the Mishnah. You're going to stand here. Aaron Akron is going to stand here. You're going to stand over here. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to stand. Everyone's got the location. Stay in your lane. That's what happened. We have a Rambam now. The Rambam comes up with a new reason. And the Rambam says the reason why we need guards is because, this is the terminology, honor guards. It shows importance to the place. Now, and we said ourselves, we would assume that the importance of the place should be both day and night. We're not sure. Now, if it was bouncers, again, more likely they should be there during the day when more people are roaming around. Nighttime, not, you know, you can lock the doors. So, okay, nobody cares. Okay. Other reasons potentially. The Rambam said, don't say theft. There are other commentators that do say theft, but why did the Rambam say it? Why, if you don't believe it, why do it? So the Abdenezer, Sachachov, says a brilliant idea. And he answers many questions with this. When the Rambam says, don't think it's guarding from theft, but it is. The don't think guarding theft meant that, by the way, when you're setting up the guards, the sewer, the oifen, the way it's set up, not the reason, has to match guards for theft. Sounds like a funny thing. He's saying that's what the Rambam adds it in. I'll see why in a second. He's saying, I'm going to tell you why the Rambam adds in words that I don't do anything. When the Rambam's saying, don't think something, go through the whole books of the Rambam. How many times are you saying, don't think something? Because the don't think something is telling, don't think the reason is, but I want to tell you the direction of it is the importance. So, for example, a debate, unbelievable historical event occurred. Late 1800s, when the Jews started, when the Jews started leaving Russia, pogroms, and heading to Palestine, there was a rabbi, go to say, for Mishka Slava Yaakov, he sent it to all the great rabbis. He said, listen, I don't understand something. Why is it not applicable anymore? Is the mitzvah, he says it is, but we're asking, is the mitzvah, we just said it's two commandments, a positive and a negative, to stand by and watch the Beis HaMikdash. So this rabbi said, what are we watching for? We're not watching for theft, Rambam says no. We're not watching for bouncers, according to the Rambam, others say yes. What are we watching for? To give honor? So maybe the honor applies to the place. The building doesn't make the honor. The spirituality, we believe today, that there's holiness on that site. Whether some other nation tried to grab it. We still believe that there's holiness on the Temple Mount. So the holiness represents Rosen's word importance. We believe that it's our most important place in the world. I think it's their third, but it's our number one important place in the world. If it's the number one important place in the world, and the reason Rosen's saying we want to set up guards is to show the importance, then you know what? Got a new job. Got a new job title. Guard of the, I don't know what you want to say, of the holy place. I don't have to say guard of the destructed temple. No, the holy place has a guard. And this rabbi sent this letter to all the great rabbis. He said, why wouldn't these obligations apply today? I'm telling you right now, I'm going to, and he did. This is the 1800s. Wasn't so, no Israeli soldiers protecting you. He would go near the Temple Mount, can't go on it, but depends where. No, not going to that argument. And he would stand guard and he would say, I'm doing this because it's not similar. The palace that has honor guards to the palace that doesn't. I'm going to stand there and I'm fulfilling this mitzvah. And he was telling people, we have this concept in Judaism, grab the mitzvah no one has. He was like, I got the mitzvah no one's done it in over 1,500 years. I got the home run of all home runs. Until this guy came along, you look into literature, no one discusses this. The Rambam doesn't say, now it happens to be the Sefer HaChinuch HaManos who says that it applies when it applies in not nowadays. But he proves, this rabbi, that that phrase of the Sefer HaChinuch 1300 means when it's not practically applicable. And he said in the Sefer HaChinuch time, if a Jew would have walked near the Turks would have killed him. But nowadays, he was saying 1800s, and certainly nowadays, post 1948, 1967, for sure, do we put guards up there not to protect us from people throwing rocks? No. Do we put honor guards to say this is a holy place, which we do believe is holy? We believe it's holy. Put a guard there. That became the question. And he was a man on an island. Most grand rabbis came out against him. And each one, the genius of each rabbi, showing why it worked. It works there, works against the form. So, for example, the Avnei Nezer used what I just told you. The Avnei Nezer says, the Sacha Chava, we just said before, he says, what does the Rambam add these words? Don't think it's for theft. Yeah, who cares? What are you telling me what not to think? So he said that the reason, of course, is honor God. Rambam says it openly. But the directive, the setup, the rules, the laws, the details of how to do it are determined by what would be a guard for theft. So the Avnei Nezer tells him that his rabbi sent him a letter. He said, by the way, today, are we afraid of theft? No. You want to go loot the place? You'll get stoned and you get 5 minutes in there. But I, as a Jew, I got no issue with someone to go loot the place now because there's nothing there. So there's no reason to assume that there's going to be a theft. Since the theft is not applicable, then the honor guards don't step in. The honor guard is only applicable in the setup of what will be for theft. Of course, the reason is honor guard. I need the setup of what it looks like. Where do I put them? What are they wearing? Do they need a gun or a knife? All these minutiae details are based on theft. If there's no issue of theft, that's what the Rambam says, there's no issue of theft. But I'm quoting it to you to tell you the reasons. And therefore, the Avnei Nezer, one of many reasons, of other rabbis as well, he says that nowadays, since there's no fear of theft, there's no reason to do it. Now, but what Rosen said a minute ago, the Avnei Nezer also says, wait a second, we have to have another debate. We know that when a Kohen or a Levi, because some of the locations were guarded by Levium, some were guarded by Kahanim, when a Levi or a Kohen does a service, an official service in the temple, then guess what? He needs to wear special clothes.
Did he wear a uniform?
Oh, depends on my uniform.
Well, I mean, if he's going to be an honor guard, he should be dressed not with normal attire.
Right. So the Avnei Nezer says, wait a second, we got to discuss here. With guarding, whatever that reason is, if that's considered a real service, then they have to wear real clothes, not fancy clothes. They got to wear the
Big Day Kahuna.
And the Avnei Nezer says, you know why it doesn't apply today? Because in the end, you can't do it practically, because the only way to do it correctly is to make it as a service and wear the correct clothes. You can't be wearing the correct clothes today. That doesn't exist. So the Avnei Nezer says to him, I like your idea. He doesn't like it. He has no other reason why he doesn't like the idea. He said, I hear what you're saying, even though I think you're wrong. And Avnei Nezer has a long, long response to this. Avnei Nezer was a giant. A long response to this rabbi. And a lot of, again, this rabbi didn't think he's alive today, 150 years later, because he wrote this miniature book, this pamphlet that he sent out to all the great rabbis in the late 1800s, and they all wrote back to him. So it became like, you know, now you got to reprint his originals with theirs together. It's a fat book. All of them responding. It was such an original idea. Now, Avinez had many reasons against him, but at one point, one of his reasons is, I don't agree with you because I believe it's based on theft. But even if it's not based on theft, you, who hold this an idea, how great, like, you have such a great idea. Go find the right clothing. Go find the right clothing. You can't come up with the right clothing, and I'm sorry, you can't do it. You can't go in it. So the Avinez was against it. According to some, just to make it easier, to avoid all the questions you're about to ask, it's possible that in order to have the clothing, like certain vessels, you would need a sanctification process. You need a special oil, possibly. So that for sure doesn't exist today. And you, that you can't copy. That's a law. The 613 laws is that you're not allowed to copy the special oil. But if you do copy the special oil, you know what it's worth? Nothing. It has no power to it. But the violation is copying. But it says the only way to sanctify things is with the original Moses' oil. One of the answers is no mimicking. No mimicking includes the katiris. No mimicking includes the oil. But not that they have sanctification. If you make a 7-prong menorah right now, good for you. You violated something. But you can't take that on top of the harabias without getting stoned and light it up, and it'll be worth anything to anybody besides getting stoned. I'm saying they might, the Muslims might think you're doing something, but in Judaism, you're doing nothing with that 7-prong menorah. Just acting weird. If a Kohen does a service without the correct clothing, that means missing one of the 7. That means he's wearing wrong size. That means if I borrow, I don't know your name, but if I borrow his jacket and it doesn't fit right on me, even though I'm wearing a Kohanic clothing, punishable by death. It's a real one. So the Avinez told us, by the way, relax. You don't got the big kahuna, don't do it. Now someone to say, we give different reasons. One reason was, again, honor guard. One reason is no one should go where they don't want to go. One reason is theft. One reason was, which I didn't speak about, the idea is what the Tosfos Yom Tov explains in the Rambam. Honor guard means that I want to be, there has to be someone constantly thinking of the holy temple. It's like an idea. Like the concentration that this is a holy place. This is a holy place. The honor isn't I give honor, I give covet. The honor means that someone is always thinking there is a holy place, a holy God in the world. Because during the day, why did Ram say an icon? Because during the day, the actual production of what is occurring means you automatically think about it. The people in the temple, when they were doing the service, didn't look like when we're davening. When we're davening, we're roaming the world, we're in the middle of Yankee Stadium, then we're traveling to Paris, then we fly the globally, as it, right? They ask the question, if the reason given in the Torah is for the guards to protect the people going to the wrong location, how could the Rambam make up a rule? So the answer that Eliezer tried to answer, big novelty idea to say this. He says like this, that the idea of protecting non-Levium from going to the wrong location, which was what seems like the original law was based on, only was applicable in the Mishkan. Why? Because in the Mishkan, how many Levium were there? 5. Aaron, Eliezer, maybe Pinchas at one point, a couple of kids. So they knew, anyone going, where are you going? The guy says, you know, you wave the flag. I'm a lady. What? No. Get back. You ain't related to me. But he says, big idea, that once, so that reason was applicable when there were only 5 Levium. But once it opened up and we got to a base of Migdash, that didn't become applicable. Unbelievable, he says. What are the guards supposed to do? Who are you? I don't know who you are. 50,000 people show up. 50,000 people show up. I'm going to stand guard. I don't know who you are. The guy says, I'm a lady. In Jewish law, by the way, we trust people when they say they're a lady. If you come in now and say, if a guy walks to the show right now, you know it. We've discussed this years ago, by the way. If a guy walks around and says, I'm a Kayan, there's no check. Yeah, we don't ask for a card.
I'll be your check.
Right? We don't ask him, show me the grave of your great-grandfather. We were asking him that a few years ago, right? That's what we discussed with them. So he says that the reason for the mitzvah of protecting the wrong people going in the wrong place, that only applied in the classic sense when you were in a Mishkan. When the Torah were talking, the Torah were talking in a Mishkan. But later on, when they got the Beis Hamikdash, that reason became impossible. In Jewish law, I'm adding on right now, we must not believe in identity cards. Can't wear a star of kahuna on your thing. We're against it seems like. And therefore, they couldn't practice it. Therefore, what was the reason for it? Honor guard. I saw from Reb Nevinson, alive today, and I saw one of the holy Jews, probably over 90. He says like this. He says, it says when someone passes away, you come upstairs to ask a bunch of questions. Were you honorable in business? One of the questions is, did you desire redemption? So he says, where does that come from? How did you do that? He wants to say, and it came from these rules. The rule of putting a guards, which meant now we're saying, meant an awareness that there has to be someone in the Bishkan at all times saying, this place is holy. And when you're doing it, you're good. You're not good. That, in today's world, when there is no basic English, is people saying, we want to have that idea. We're looking forward to it. So that when the guy gets upstairs, when they ask the guy, were you thinking about it? It meant this practical law. Not practical, go stand on top of that mountain there and we're an honor guard and say that's good enough. Maybe it also is good enough. That's the point of that rabbi. But what it means is we have to start thinking about, do we want it? Do we want the honorable place to be back where it was?